This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2019. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Carrie Moses, Director of Safety Services, Wichita Public Schools. Welcome to Issues 2019.
Thrilled to be here. Nice. Great to talk to you again.
Nice to be back with you. Now, can this be true? Have you been in the job since 2013?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And for those who don't know, what did you do before that? I know you had a life.
I had a life. I had a great life. I was with Wichita Police Department for 33 years and just absolutely loved working in the arena of public safety and was very fortunate to be able to retire to a job that's still public safety.
Well, and did you had where'd that come from? I mean, I knew you played basketball at Wichita State,
correct? That's correct.
You're from a small town called
Green.
Green.
Yes.
I'm remembering some pretty good stuff about you. But how did the law enforcement thing come about? Where'd that bug bite you?
Be careful what you allow your kids to do in school. I was challenged with writing a informative speech in high school in a 1A school. And I saw a magazine that had a headline article on police women. And I did a speech, and it worked out well. And like anything else in the world, the next time you had to write a report or the next time you had to write an essay, same topic. And just that interest grew. And here I am today.
And you saw Angie Dickinson on TV?
Something like that. Actually, if you look back at the time, very much so.
Which
that was about
time?
The first time that you saw women depicted in any type of law enforcement capacity.
You're right.
Certainly, when I joined in 1980, the members of the Wichita Police Department that were female were about 5%, and that was about true nationwide. Very small numbers. Unfortunately, still hasn't grown a lot. Nationwide, the number of female police officers still sits in the 12 to 15% range. Certainly would love to see that increase, so anybody out there who's interested in a wonderful helping career, look at law enforcement.
Do you sometimes hire women in the USD 259?
Absolutely. we like to have people that can interact with kids in a variety of situations, and having people of both genders certainly helps us be more successful.
Well, another school year is underway, and you're responsible for the safety of more than 50,000 students.
Yes.
Plus teachers, staff, and visitors.
Yes.
How many helpers do you have, Terry?
We've got about 80 people on our staff that do a variety of things, from direct services to keeping track of our crisis drills, reports, all those kind of things. So a variety of folks.
And how many buildings and facilities need to be watched in USD 259?
We have 100 buildings, and 94 of them are active, what we call attendance centers or schools. And that encompasses, like you said, just over 50,000 students.
A couple of improvements have been made, as I understand it, regarding video ability in the schools and locks on classroom doors. Could you tell us about those improvements?
Yes. A couple of years ago, the state of Kansas, the legislators, saw fit to give money to schools to improve security. And last year we applied for and received the grant, and this year we did too. This year we're having a focus on what I call both high-tech and low-tech. On the high-tech side, we're improving our camera systems. We're moving from partial digital and analog to all digital. all of the, you that watch TV about 15 years ago when we switched over from analog to digital know the difference in the power and the improved service that you get with digital. So we did that. On the low-tech side, we're doing things like putting numbers on doors and windows so that if you're on the inside of a building and you're calling 911, you could say, I'm in door whatever, and that matches the door on the outside so the responder would know where you are. So we're trying to do a holistic approach, making sure that we provide services that are necessary to make sure we can respond to and adequately prevent crises.
And that's simple, but you know, I was thinking about that as you were speaking. People know where they are, right? I remember a few years ago, I tried to call 911 because I saw something on the street. I gave them the wrong address about four times.
It is,
and
very
finally, I said, "Wait a minute, I'm on 13th, not 21st."
Yeah. It's very difficult, and especially if you're like a parent or a visitor of a school. Our school, Southeast High, the new building, is almost a quarter mile long, and being able to tell somebody where you are. Easily get into a building. Do you know north, south, east, west? Not so much, but certainly if you have a number that you can see, it's just like on the turnpike. They've added quarter mile little notes. So you know if you break down where you are, you've got that opportunity to tell somebody exactly where you are.
You know, regarding young people, the vaping is in the news a lot. Is that anything that will impact USD 259?
Tobacco use, vaping use, unfortunately, kids do make bad decisions. We made bad decisions when we were kids. We have seen vaping in our schools. We do a lot to try to educate kids about the negatives associated with vaping. Matter of fact, we're going to do a teen drug summit here coming up, and one of the things that we're going to focus on is the dangers of vaping. It's all about education. We educated our way out of smoking. We really put a hard press on trying to tell people how about the dangers of smoking. And then somehow or another, this vaping phenomenon has come up, and now we need to re-educate our young people about the dangers of those type of things.
And now we've had the report of it as we record this, at least one vaping-related sort of a death in Kansas. This was a person over the age of 50.
Yes.
But who had other health problems, but still.
Yeah. Well, you know, anytime from what we know of vaping, anytime you put anything in your lungs that doesn't belong there is not a good thing.
Yeah. What else is new this year? Talking about the two security things that you're doing, what else is going on that you want to talk about?
Well, I'll talk about kind of our holistic approach.
Holistic approach.
Well, you can't do safety if you don't do it from front to back. And what we like to tell people is that we do prevention on the front end, we do protection, we do mitigation, we do response, and we do recovery. An example I give when I go back to that car and driving down the turnpike, on the prevention side, you learn how to drive a car the right way, you put good tires on your car so you stay on the road. You know, we make sure on the protection side you've got those airbags and that seatbelt. On the mitigation side, when you're driving down the turnpike, you've got the guardrails on one side to keep you on the road, and then on the other side you keep from having a front-on collision by crossing over. And then, of course, we respond, EMS, tow truck, whatever, and then recovery. You go to the body shop to fix your car, and you go to the physical therapist to fix yourself. We do the same thing in schools. We make sure that we have something at every one of those levels, that we do everything from protection to or prevention to recovery.
You talked about a couple of things. Are there other steps that you take with students and staff to kind of prepare them for a possible shooter situation?
Absolutely. That kind of falls in that mitigation kind of area. Where we do drills. One of the things that we want to do always, of course, is fire drills, tornado drills. Well, now we realize we also have to do drills in regards to that violent intruder or that situation. So we train people. Yesterday we had a police activity outside our schools, and our schools went on what we call a lockout.
Three or four of them, right?
Yes. Yeah. And they had drilled prior to that, so they knew how to handle that situation. So when they handled it, what we want people to be able to do is handle situations with confidence and not create anxiety or fear.
Or a panic.
Yeah. And that's when we talk about responding to that violent intruder situation, I go back to my basketball days. When was the last time you saw anybody shoot a free throw and they yelled and screamed before they did it? Can you imagine Sully Sullenberger?
I did in school.
Okay, was it effective?
Yeah.
Not so much.
I missed.
Not so much. Can you imagine Sully parking an airplane on the Hudson screaming and yelling?
Yeah.
No. So we really focus on calm. Even when we're going to tornado shelters, we want to do it quickly. We want to get there quickly. but we want to make sure that we do it in a calm and organized manner. And we do the same thing when we move to those violent intruder drills.
And that's true. But do you know, in a situation, some of that could just fly out the window.
Yeah. But calm is contagious.
Somebody will be calm.
Yeah. And that's what we really focus on when we talk to staff, is about that fact that calm is contagious. And if we can have control, and if we can get people to the right place in a expeditious amount of time, they're much more likely to be successful in those situations.
Would you talk a little bit about school resource officers and their role in the security at the schools?
We absolutely love them. We have 8 in our schools. We have 7 with the Wichita Police Department and 1 with the Bel Air Police Department, because Northeast Magnet is actually in the city of Bel Air. They are commissioned police officers that work beside our staff in the schools on a daily basis. And I know from my time in law enforcement how valuable that is. It's creating that relationship with a person in uniform. So if kids do need to reach out to somebody, they know that that person in his uniform is a safe person to reach out to. And also we gain the value of information.
Would you like to have more SROs?
Absolutely. I'd like to have more security people, too, just like we'd like to have more teachers and more counselors.
Right.
But we understand. We're publicly funded, and we understand that budgets, you know, you have to set limits on that. So we're thrilled to have the ones that we have. I have a great, great staff of SROs right now. I can tell you they're very, very, very caring individuals. We had one that was just recently shown that once a week he goes into the Child Development Center and does reading with the little kids.
How about that?
It's just an opportunity to reach out and, again, establish those relationships with students.
Tell us about the Speak Up program.
Speak Up is something that we do in partnership with the Wichita Crime Commission. The Wichita Crime Commission has been around for many, many years. It's a group of people who are basically committed to making our community better. And they have funded through us a program where we use an outside vendor, just like Crime Stoppers does, and students or staff or anybody, even you, could make a call, or now we use an app, because most kids don't talk over the phone.
Yeah.
They text over the phone. And so we use an app that students or anybody can text us with concerning information, and then that's reported 24 hours a day. If it's an emergency situation, they actually contact our local 911, and we activate people in the middle of the night. If it's a non-emergency situation, then we will deal with it in the school as necessary.
When there is an incident in the schools, what's the policy for informing media, Terry? You know, if you send out an email to parents and teachers, you know we're all going to hear about it within 15 or 20 minutes. Would you go proactive? Do you try to – is there any way you can do that, or do you do that?
We pretty much rely on that. We send out – we have a system called ParentLink, which is our basically internal communication system. It's the way we let everybody know that we aren't going to have school on a snow day. But we also, like yesterday, we had some schools that were on a lockout, and we would send notifications to the parents that, hey, this happened in your school today. So if your son or daughter comes home and is talking about what happened, you already know what's going on. And then we use that to talk to the media as well. That's one of the ways that we share information. Like you say, as soon as we send it out, somebody generally is going to find out about it. We have an excellent strategic communication group that is willing to take questions and do follow-up when media has questions.
Yeah, that's helpful. It really is. Yes. You're listening to Issues 2019 on the Entercom radio stations, and our guest, Terry Moses, Director of Safety Services, Wichita Public Schools. How good a basketball player were you?
I was marginal.
You rarely hear somebody say, I was really good.
No. I was incredibly fortunate to be able to play Division I sports and gain so much from that, learning about teamwork, responsibility, being a leader. I can tell you it was one of the reasons I'm an advocate for extracurricular activities is how they helped me in my life. Whether it was band, speech, whatever, or sports, I truly believe that our kids, if they can find that passion and love, that hook to get them involved in school, that's what's going to keep them successful.
One of the superintendents, I think it was Allison, who told me on several occasions, past superintendent, extracurricular, that's really the reason a lot of kids show up.
Absolutely. It's that hook.
It's the hook that gets them in there, and then maybe they'll learn something.
Well, it's because if you're having a hard time in math, but if you have that hook that, hey, I can play basketball, or I can be on this group, or dance, or whatever it is, I can be a part of the orchestra choir, But that'll help me then see the value of showing up and being there for math.
Yeah. Well, what's the most common problem you deal with day to day?
It's probably more the little stuff day to day, traffic issue, parent complaints, maybe even custody issues, unfortunately, that we have those in our schools that show up in our schools. Of course, we do have the complaints about bullying. Those are things that we have to deal with immediately and quickly. And in today's world, it's certainly when we get information about threats. And with today's world, we get information about old threats, new threats. It's really a process of sorting through the information that's
out
there.
How do you decide what's real?
It takes a lot of investigation.
Do you really have to just go with almost everything?
We take everything seriously.
Yeah.
And then we sort through it. An example is last year we received a threat to a high school that had a name that was similar to our high school. It was in, Rhode Island.
Another state.
Another state. But with the electronics, like we were talking earlier, the electronics don't sort out, hey, you've got a name. All of our high schools are named very, 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 they're directional. And so they're very common.
You talked about, you just brushed on bullying a minute ago. That's my next question. How big is that problem?
It exists everywhere. We see it on the national scene. So certainly we see it in our schools. One of the things that we do on that prevention side, when I was talking about that holistic approach to crisis, is we focus on education, teaching kids how they can deal with problem solving. Somebody's going to make you mad. It's going to happen. And we have to model good behavior, and we have to teach kids how to deal without becoming a bully or angry, and without becoming a victim. How do you stand up for yourself, and how do you stop from yourself from being angry or aggressive?
Well, it's tragic that now and then, I don't know if you've had it in Wichita schools, but of course, September is also Suicide Awareness Month. Sometimes it can lead to that if a kid's really getting mistreated.
Absolutely. And one of the things we do, again, on the prevention side, is we do suicide prevention training. It's mandated by the state, but we really tried to put together a program that trains our staff to look at warning signs, to make sure that we're providing information to both parents and staff about services that can be provided. One of the things that we know about suicide, and I go back to my time in law enforcement, is the stigma associated with mental illness. If you have a lump or a mole that's out of control, you're going to go receive medical assistance for that. But if you're dealing with a mental illness, there's that stigma of taking that first step and actually going and getting help. Mm-hmm. And nationwide, we need to do a lot better job of removing that stigma so people can feel comfortable going receiving help for mental health disorders.
Talking about vaping a while ago, are drugs and alcohol a problem in USD 259?
We're dealing with teenagers. Yes.
Short answer.
Short answer.
That's not going to change.
It's not going to change. And we know that. Research has shown that's not going to change much. What kids need is trusted adults. What kids need is people involved in their lives. And we go back to extracurricular activity. Who said years ago that idle time is the worst thing, devil something. I can't remember what the saying is, but you get the point.
Yeah.
We know that when kids have free time, they sometimes make bad decisions. So the more we can keep them occupied with positive activities, with positive peers, with positive decision making, again, good role modeling on the part of people that they're actively involved with, are all going to make these kids more successful.
Tell us about efforts to inform students and parents concerning violence policies. I know you. Doesn't every school have a policy handbook or something like that?
We have one for the entire district.
Okay.
And we provide that information. We also do most things through the website now and through the enrollment process. One of the negatives is the enrollment process has a packet that's about an inch thick. And we know you aren't going to read through all of it, yeah. But when you need it. So we try to send out, I know all of the schools do newsletters to provide information. Last year we had a little one of those internet meme scares, and we provided the principals information from my office about things you can tell parents about safe ways to use cell phones, those kind of things. And I know the principals put those in those newsletters that they send out to their parents.
What is done to ensure safety on school grounds after hours?
Like
you
anybody
got somebody
else,
around all the time, don't you?
Our staff is here 24/7, but I'll be honest, we have 94 buildings, and you can't, just like this building, you can't cover a building 24/7. technology is out there. You know, our buildings, we have cameras on all our buildings, both interior and exterior. They're alarmed as well. And we've fenced most of our properties to keep our property safe. That's been a very positive move, from just things like keeping dogs off of our property after hours, as well as keeping from people from driving on our property. So we've done a variety of things to make sure that our buildings are safe 24/7.
Tell us about school safety during severe weather.
During severe weather.
Yeah, well, a few years ago, Jefferson
yes.
School kind of got hit by a tornado.
Absolutely. One of the things I think that this community did wonderfully is in 2008, they passed a bond issue that allowed us to build safe rooms in our schools. And so we do have safe rooms in our buildings. Yesterday, we did a district-wide tornado drill. And people say, why do you do that in the fall? Well, that's the start of school, and we know in Kansas you can still have tornadoes at this time of the year. But we tested our facilities, and that's what we do in our drills. We do a drill debrief follow-up, and for the last 24 hours, I've been receiving a whole lot of emails from people. Hey, everything worked fine. We had a problem with this. We had one classroom where maybe the intercom didn't work, but that's the time to find it out,
yeah. Is
in that drill process.
Are you getting the support you need from the Board of Education, realizing that a negative answer could cost you your job?
No, I think we have an excellent board. I am absolutely thrilled with the administrative staff that we have. I think Dr. Thompson and when I was hired, Mr. Allison, both great administrators. They see the value. And when you talk about the Board of Education, and I'm actually glad you asked that question, the board set up four goals for the district 2 years ago, and the number four goal is to ensure that schools are trusted as safe places. And I go across the state, and I guarantee you there are very few schools that have a non-traditional education goal. You know, our first three goals are the graduation rate, the third grade reading rate, and the making sure that we have those programs that are tailored to kids. Those degree completion programs, those other kind of programs, certificate programs. But we have a goal of safety. And I think that speaks loudly that our Board of Education thought so much about safety that they put it in their highest priority.
How about support from parents?
I think so overall...
Most parents are very concerned about their kids. Some of them aren't at all, you know.
I think most parents are very good at following procedures. For example, 4 years ago, we put in a process that everybody enters our building has to get a badge when they enter in. At first, there was some concern, well, people aren't going to come to our buildings because you have to take out your driver's license and you have to scan in. But the overwhelming feedback we got from parents was, oh, my God, I'm so glad you're doing that. I'm glad that you're checking people as they enter into our building. So overall, we get very positive feedback from parents. Occasionally, I can tell you our biggest problem with parents is the pickup and the drop-off and being patient and following our both road and driving laws. We tell kids all the time, safety, safety, safety. The best parents I see, and I absolutely love them, they park a block away, they get their steps walking in, and then when they pick their kid up, they take them by their hand and they model crossing the street at the right place. They're taking that 15-minute walk to talk to their kids about how their day went, what they learned, who their friends are, and they're just modeling that excellent behavior in terms of how you establish relationships.
What are the biggest challenges in your job?
It's 24/7.
Never ends.
One of the things, the misconception I had when I retired from the police department, because the police department was really 24/7, that this would not be. But in the day of age of electronic communication and threats and those kind of things, I've spent my fair share of nights up trying to resolve situations. So our biggest challenge is making sure that we provide 24/7 service with a fairly small staff that actually works 24/7.
What are the biggest rewards in your job, Terry?
When I go into schools and I see kids smiling and having a good time, I can tell you that I absolutely love interaction with kids. Every once in a while, like last year, I got called to judge a speech competition. And this is just so cool, listening to these kids and seeing their optimism and their skills and their growing skills and helping them as they grow to be positive adults.
And, of course, the big question, basketball. Which is better, the zone defense or the person-to-person defense? What did you call it? You didn't call it man-to-man, did you?
Yeah, we called it man-to-man.
Oh, okay. That's kind of sexist,
yeah, I know it is. And I still struggle with the manpower versus staffing, but I'm working on it. We still call it man-to-man. I'm a diehard person-to-person. I think the best way to defend something is to be right there. On top of them.
One on one. Take responsibility.
Yes.
And you're taking a lot of responsibility.
Yes.
Terry, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Yep. I appreciate your dedication and all of the people who are working at USD 259. Make sure those kids are safe and getting a good education. Thank you for your contribution to the schools, to our community. As always, fun to talk to you.
And so glad you asked.
Our guest is Terry Moses, Director of Safety Services, Wichita Public Schools. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2019. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.